We continue to read from John chapter 6, the famous discourse on the bread of life, and we continue to read from the Acts of the Apostles, another episode from the life of Saint Philip. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, it's not clear to us what they mean, and sometimes it's hard to figure out how they're connected to our own personal lives. But I think these readings are not like that. I think these readings are clear, if we take a moment to ponder them, and they also apply to our situation right now. I have so many thoughts about this, I'm not sure I can keep them all straight. But let's start with the gospel, because Jesus says, they will all be taught by God. That's quoting the prophets, they will all be taught by God. God wants everyone to know him. And so he draws everyone, the Father draws everyone to himself, without forcing, but by the power of attraction. They will all be taught by God. And in today's first reading, we see this Ethiopian eunuch being taught by God because God sent Philip to teach him. Then Jesus continues to speak about his relationship with the Father and the importance of trust in God and receiving eternal life. And then he returns to the theme about the bread of life. In this passage, he again distinguishes between the manna, the Old Testament bread from heaven, which fed the people, but they died anyway, and the new bread from heaven, which is himself, the bread that we are to eat and never die. And then at the very conclusion of the gospel, he says, this bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. It's a revelation of the truth of the Eucharist. The Eucharist, which is the bread of life, the Eucharist, which is the flesh of Christ, the body and blood of Christ. So not only will they all be taught by God, they will all be fed by God. What does he teach us? He teaches us his own word. How does he feed us? He feeds us with his own flesh, the word of God made flesh. So this is what we're doing right here when we come to Mass. We're being taught by God and we're being fed by God. In the first reading, we go to this episode about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I said there's so many connections. I can't help but think of this because here's an Ethiopian. He's an African. He's traveling. And he's on the way back to Ethiopia. And today, Pope Leo is in Africa. Still in Africa. He's been there 10 days. Today's his last day in Africa. He's on his way back. Today he's flying back to Rome. So Pope Leo, who is, of course, he's an American who's been most of his adult life as a missionary in South America. Now he's a missionary in Africa. What's he doing? He's doing something like what Philip was doing for the Ethiopian. Pope Leo, a missionary to Africa, proclaiming the gospel in Algeria, in Angola, in Cameroon, and today he's in Equatorial Guinea. I had to look up Equatorial Guinea. I didn't know anything about the country. It's a majority Catholic country. I didn't know that. It's a Spanish-speaking country. Yesterday he was in the town of Bata. I said Bata. Sounds like a Filipino word. So anyway, so the Pope is there, and as I say, he's concluding his mission to Africa today. So here's an Ethiopian who's a pilgrim on his way home back to Africa. And he's still reading the prophet Isaiah. He's a classic example of a pilgrim. We did a lot of pilgrimages last year because it was the Jubilee year. Pilgrimages are symbolic of our journey of life. In fact, anytime we're traveling, it reminds us that we're all traveling through life. Even if we're not going anywhere, we're traveling through time. And as we travel, we can be taught by God. They will all be taught by God. And here's the Ethiopian reading from the prophet Isaiah as he bumps along in his chariot. I don't know how he can do that, but he must be a well-educated man. First of all, that he can read at all. Most people couldn't read then, but this man is the treasurer of the country. He'd be something like the secretary of finance or something like that. He's a very high public official and certainly well-educated, but he's a eunuch, so he has no family, and he's experiencing the emptiness of riches and the loneliness of his life, and he's being drawn to God. So he's reading from the prophet. Now, I said there's lots of connections. Yesterday afternoon, in fact, it was about 4:30, I got a text from my sister who's also traveling. She's not going to Africa, she's coming here, coming to the Philippines. And she was in the airport and she was downloading things for her long journey. So I don't know if she downloaded the prophet Isaiah, but she wanted to find the podcast of my homily for yesterday. She said, I can't find yesterday's homily, Wednesday's homily. So she's like the eunuch, trying to use the traveling time to listen to God. Well, in the case of the eunuch, who is sent but the man of the Spirit, Philip. Now, this is not Philip the Apostle, right? St. Philip the Apostle. This is Philip the Evangelist, sometimes called Philip the Deacon, one of the seven. So remember, a couple of days ago, we heard the seven men chosen to help with the distribution of food. The first one was Stephen, and he was martyred. So the second one, Philip the Evangelist. And Philip is an example of what Jesus described when he was speaking about people who are led by the Spirit. The wind blows where it will. You can hear the sound that it makes, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. Philip is something like that. He's inspired by the Spirit to go and catch up with the chariot on the road. That was a Spirit-led movement. And he runs and catches up with the chariot. He must be a fast runner, but he was filled with the Spirit. And he's blown by the wind of the Spirit. And after the encounter with the Ethiopian, he's snatched up by the Spirit of the Lord, and he's taken away, and the eunuch doesn't see him anymore. And he finds himself on his way to Azotus, wherever that is. he's a missionary. Now, in the encounter with the eunuch, it's beautiful how this happens. The eunuch is already pondering the Word of God. He's pondering the Word, but he's by himself. And you know how difficult it is to ponder the Word all alone, and how much we get out of pondering the Word with other people. Yes, we will all be taught by God, but very often God teaches us through one another. We hear someone else say something about the Word of God. Someone else shares about what the Word of God says to him or to her. That's what a pondering group is. So the Lord sends Philip to help the Ethiopian understand the Word. Philip says, well, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, well, how can I? Unless someone instructs me. Someone has to help me understand the Word. And we all need this. We need help to understand the Word as we travel along. Well, there are a lot of people here for the pondering today. I met our sisters came in from Naik. They left at 4:00 in the morning. Well, they were blown by the Holy Spirit to come here for the Mass and for the pondering group. And then they will be taught by God, meaning they'll be taught, we'll be teaching one another in the pondering. Well, when Philip learns that the eunuch is pondering the prophet Isaiah, and then the eunuch says, well, who's he talking about? Who's Isaiah talking about here? Well, it's such an obvious open door. Philip says, he's talking about Jesus. And he uses the opportunity to proclaim Jesus. Because what is the Word of God about? It's about Jesus. The Old Testament is all in preparation for the coming of Jesus. And the New Testament is all about the arrival of Jesus and his great mission fulfillment of his mission, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He laid down his life for us. He rose for us. He filled us with his Spirit. That's what the Word of God is about. And when we're being taught by God, he's teaching us about these things. After that, the eunuch says, well, there's some water here. Now remember, they're traveling through the desert from Jerusalem to Gaza. You've seen pictures of Gaza. Gaza's been in the news for years now, and maybe not so much now because the war has shifted, but Gaza is still reduced to ruins, and if you see the pictures, very, very bleak. I don't see any water. Well, they came across water. They came across an oasis in the desert. The Lord provided an opportunity for the man to be baptized. What's to prevent my being baptized? Here's water. Here's a deacon. Here's someone to baptize me. He's catechized me. Now he can baptize me. And that's what happens. So then who's filled with the Spirit? The eunuch is filled with the Spirit and filled with joy as he goes along his way. He continues his pilgrimage, but with the new life of the Spirit. And Philip gets snatched away by the Spirit to proclaim the good news somewhere else. Isn't this a beautiful Easter reading? This is the wonderful and mysterious Easter season, which is the Pentecost season, the season of the Holy Spirit. We don't know what the Holy Spirit will do today. We don't know how our journey will progress today. We're on a journey, but we're not the ones determining our progress or even our destination. That's the Lord. So as we yield to the Lord, as we are taught by the Lord, as we are drawn by the Father, as we are fed by the flesh of Christ, we make progress along the journey. And even though it often seems like a desert journey, when the Lord knows we need water, he provides water. When he knows we need instruction, he provides someone to instruct us. When he wants to snatch us up out of one situation and put us somewhere else, that's what he does, if we're willing to follow. So, in this Easter Pentecost season, we have a special attentiveness to the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, because it's through the Holy Spirit that we are taught by God and we become instruments of God for one another.